Now read today's Bible passage. Today's passage is from Deuteronomy, chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. This is the Old Testament, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 11 through 18. Today's message title is, In Order to Be Happy. Now I'll read. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe His commands, His laws, and His decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build up fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of a hard rock. He gave you manna and to eat in the wilderness, something that your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors, as it is today. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise Your name, Lord. We know that today, too, you are expressing your endless love to us and you're providing guidance to us. We know, Lord, that today as well, you are with each and every one of us. And we thank you for this grace. Dear Father, we thank you that we're allowed to be given life from you. And sometimes we are very tempted to take interest in things that we can see, but Lord, we know what is most important are the eternal things, and we know that it's you, and that is your promise to us. Allow us, Lord, to be able to turn our eyes to you again today, and by your word, Lord, be strengthened and encouraged. Please, Lord, please strengthen our faith in you. Allow our spiritual eyes. And words, Lord, to be something we can trust and to be able to allow us to see your amazing works. Please, Lord, open our spiritual eyes. Today, Lord, allow us to be able to walk with you again and to be joyful in doing so. Please provide guidance. Please watch over Pastor Osuni as he speaks this morning. And Lord, we ask that through Pastor Osumi, we can hear from you. We pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Good morning, everyone. It's already the end of June, the last day of June, in fact. So half of the year is already over. And this has gone quite quick. As for myself, this month, I have become 70 years old. And you don't need to clap for me about that. In my head, though, I'm still like probably in my early teens or maybe even a little bit younger. The things I think of are very childish still. Unfortunately, the outer part of me is falling apart as I'm getting older. So I am making an effort to walk every day for the benefit of my health and longevity. And there, I have a few different courses I walk in, and mainly through the rice fields or other fields. And I can hear frogs and birds and so on when I'm walking, usually. You've probably heard of the story, the Japanese traditional folk story about the crane and helping this guy who helped a crane. And this man helped a crane, and it turned out that she was actually this woman, and she actually made this beautiful cloth that actually helped the man, and he became wealthy because of it. And you've probably heard the continuation of that from Pastor Anjiki, and it's the guy next door to this guy was really jealous about this, and so he wanted to get a lot of money too. So he went to go help a bird, and he thought it was a crane, and he helped it just like this other guy had done. And he brought him to the house, and then this woman showed up, and so he thought, oh, it's the same kind of a thing. And so he thought, oh, okay, so I've put the woman in this room, then after a while she'll make something beautiful for me. But it was he heard noise, but the noise wasn't the same sound of like somebody weaving fabric. So he was worried, but he didn't want to open the door. And so when he did, though, finally he looked in and he saw that the crane wasn't there. The bird wasn't there. And actually everything in the house that was of value was also gone. And the window was open, and the bird had flown away, and he realized, oh, it wasn't a crane. It was a heron, which in Japanese has the same pronunciation as like scam or fraud. So sorry, you can't translate it to English. And there's a third part to this story. So this third bird that was caught by this other guy was in the Ichikaicho district of Japan. And this guy was caught it. And he couldn't find a crane, but he found this, you know, this other bird. And for some reason it had like front teeth in it. And I don't know why it would have, but it did. And so he thought, wow, if I can like get this bird and like sell it or something, I can get a lot of money. So he told the bird to stay home, and he was going to go sell it, but it wasn't there when he went back. So he's like, well, what happened? But actually, there was a lot of things that had been stolen as well. And so the bird had gone out. And so he was all upset. And then he noticed the dentures had fallen out. And he's like, what's that? And he's like, oh my gosh, that wasn't a crane. It wasn't a heron. It was a gray-faced buzzard, which in Japanese translates as dentures. So this is funny. And so if you don't understand the Japanese, you can't understand these jokes. Apologies for that. Anyway, there's this train station in that district that has this similar train station name, which doesn't refer to dentures, but rather the name of a buzzard, which is kind of like a time of hawk. So I encourage you to go there. And you can anyway. So these birds were actually, the point of this original story was to do something nice back to the guy who helped it. And the first original story, it's to help the guy out first financially. However, to become wealthy, or is that really something that will make you happy? That's something to think about. In America, as well as other various countries, there's this theology that exists. It's called the prosperity gospel. And this is actually quite famous. And there's many people on TV who try to promote it. And they say, if you believe in God, you're going to become more wealthy. And if you, you know, believe in him, he's going to bless you abundantly financially. And in many poor countries, they want to believe this because they want money. And some people actually do become Christians and are saved because of this. But there's other aspects to this as well. Is this really true? Is the prosperity gospel really true? The Bible does say, ask and it will be given, right? So God does want to provide things that we desire. That is true. And he does want to answer our prayers. And he is joyful in doing so, and that is his heart. However, just because we pray something, it doesn't necessarily mean that God automatically wants us to become wealthy. If we want this and that and the other, it may not be God's main goal for us to have all of those things. it's likely that God's main priority for us is not just to give us physical possessions, because he also says, blessed are you are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Of course, this is stating that is not stating that being poor is a blessing. He also says, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So even if you have a lot of things, it doesn't mean that your life is going to be, the happiness of your life is going to be determined by that. There was the young man who came to Jesus. He said, "I what do I do to go to, you know, have eternal life?" And he says, if you want to be perfect, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. However, this young man was very sad, it says, as he went away, and he didn't come back. In other words, he was so happy with what he had that he wasn't willing to give that up. As for Paul, he said, but godliness is contentment in godliness with contentment is great gain. So it's not a problem to have physical possessions or wealth. That in and of itself is not bad, and that could be God's desire for you. But to focus so much on that that you walk away from God is definitely not God's heart. And if you're more concerned about yourself than your neighbor, then that, of course, is not God's desire either. So you have to understand the context for this. What you are given by God is something that you need to be thankful and appreciative of. And in that way, God will be most pleased with you. And today's passage is talking about how Moses, after a period of 40 years wandering in the wilderness, coming out of the area of Egypt, were now standing right before Canaan, the promised land. They were just about to go in, and they could see it right there in front of them. And he had this, you know, 2 million people there with him, and he was speaking to them. And this was mentioned here in Deuteronomy, and it means to really speak out to the people, and it meant to reiterate what was already said. This is what is mentioned in Deuteronomy and the meaning of it, and that's what we're looking at today. Moses was telling the people that, the land they were going in would be great, and they could live there, and that they would have flocks and of silver and gold increase as well as that multiplied. And this was promised to them. Because of that, though, he says, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. So after a period of 40 years, when God had watched them walking in the wilderness, he did protect them. And after these trials in the wilderness, you could see that those actually had a purpose, and that was actually kind of testing the people in a way to see if they could be happy with what they were given. In other words, what Moses was saying, that all the difficulties they faced for that period of 40 years, for example, physically or psychologically, were actually something for the purpose in the end of bringing about happiness to them. So, however, if, for example, if you get injured or sick, or if your work job's not going well, or your child doesn't do what they're supposed to, and so on, you may wonder, God, why am I going through this? Why is this happening? And you may wonder if God's out to get you or something. And you may think, oh, God's just on my case, and he only does bad things to me. He's not a good God, and he's always angry. And you may think that he's a scary God or something. If you make even a small mistake, God's out to point out every wrongdoing in your life. And then in light of that, you are very scared to make a mistake because you think God's out there watching you, just waiting for you to mess up. So that's maybe how some people think. However, you can't choose what happens to you in your life. You never know what is going to happen to you. It's the same for Christians and non-Christians. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to get sick or there are not any Christians who can really say, there may be Christians who can say, I've never been sick becoming a Christian, but probably 99% of the Christians who have, after becoming a Christian, have become sick. And it's not true that all Christians will never face difficulties or have, live a long life. Some people do live long, though, but there are some people who only live a short life. So just becoming a Christian doesn't promise anything one way or the other. And in some aspects, there may be people who have a lot of money and are very healthy and they're doing well with their families and job, and they're not Christian. There could be a lot of these people out there. Even though they're not believing in God, on the surface, it looks like they're living the great life. And when people, you look at this, for example, the psalmist, refers to this, wanting to cry out in anger toward God. However, if we have that types of thought in our heads, there's something we need to think about. What we need to realize is that God and the character of God is a God who wants to bless us and love us. And if we choose not to believe in God, that's what kind of like the devil is encouraging us to think. Even though we may face harsh difficulties, we can reflect on what Moses said. And they had a lot of difficulties they faced in the 40-year period in the wilderness. And there's a lot of times where they would have wondered why in the world they were going through all these different kind of things. However, those things were actually part of God's plan, as Moses reflects, to lead them to something greater and happier. As for ourselves, we face a lot of difficulties and painful things in our lives, but after time passes and we look back upon those things, there are many cases where we can see that they may be related to our present state at that time and realize how it has led to something positive. And if we think of it from that, the reverse perspective, if we hadn't gone through something very difficult, then we wouldn't be where we were now, or we wouldn't be in such a good position. In other words, for the present position that we are in today, it's all based, or it can be sometimes because of the unfortunate circumstances we experienced in the past. What's most important is this, that God is not, it is not that God is a sadist and that he desires to see us struggling and in pain. We need to believe that and know that is the truth. He is not a God who looks at us and is happy when we're struggling and in pain. And he isn't a God who just leaves us there either. It's important to remember this and believe that God is actually one who we can trust. Otherwise, if we don't believe this, we'll be tempted to walk away from him when we face difficult things. The prisoners in many cases when they are taken from their country or so on, God spoke to them in Jeremiah saying, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So when you think about that, he's talking to the people that were prisoners at this time and telling them this. It's likely maybe a lot of them had a difficult time hearing that because they couldn't see a future for themselves at all. Their present situation was quite dark. have the Bible, which consists of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And I've thought about this. If it was, sometimes I thought, well, if it's just the New Testament, it would be a lot, you know, less paper to haul around if it was just the New Testament. And sometimes it seems like the Old Testament is just maybe not necessary. However, and some people have the misperception that the God of the New Testament, the God of the Old Testament are two different gods or two different characters. We were just singing about, you know, the gentle Jesus a moment ago. Would we sing also that God is, you know, scary? But that's not true. God is the same at all times. The Bible is one. There's no change in it. And through both the Old and New Testaments, we can know God. So this means that in the Old Testament as well, the Jesus mentioned there is the same Jesus that we see in the New Testament. The Jesus of the Old Testament, or God of the Old Testament, may, from some perspective, seem to be different from that of the New Testament. However, we can see that it is one and the same. He loves us, and He is the God of who has our best interest at heart. So actually looking at the Old Testament and searching for Jesus in it is actually quite interesting. And we can see by doing so that God truly does love us. God created us, and He loves us to no end. God actually loves us so much He gave His Son to this, gave His Son to us on earth. He loves us so much and has the desire to create in us happiness, and that it truly is His heart. If we want to be happy, first of all, we need to change our misperceptions about God. And we need to realize that He wants us to be happy. And in order to do that, He has created the plan for our lives. With that understanding and that belief, we have to think, what exactly is happiness? As I've explained before, happiness doesn't mean just that you won't get sick or you won't get injured or your job won't go well or your job will always go well or things like that. That's not the only meaning of happiness. By God's grace, it may be that you have a great health after becoming a Christian. That could happen. And there may be some people who enjoy looking at their bank account and bank book every day. It could be great that, you know, they have a great paying job, and that's wonderful. However, and there may be people doing very well in this society as well. That could be God's grace upon you, and you should be thankful for it. However, as Moses mentioned, he said that my power and strength in my hands, you have to be careful not to think that you did everything for yourself. You have to realize that what is going on in your life is not all because of you. If you keep thinking it's you yourself and you're putting yourself on the throne and shoving God aside, then that's not God's desire. The Lord may give you power and may give you ability to earn money and so on. And in that, you have to remember, as it says here, He's the one who gives you the ability to produce wealth and so on. And He gives us promises as He and fulfills those. He gives you grace as He has promised He will. And if you need to realize that this is the true heart of God. Your successes and your blessings are only coming from God. So what is happiness? Happiness is not just something you can see physically, and it's not just your physical possessions or money as well. And one of the psalmists actually was addressing this issue, and he was by the name of Asaph. He said But as for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the sovereign God, Lord of God, my refuge, and I will tell you of all my your deeds. Asaph was a person who actually went through all kinds of different trials and painful things, and was wondering, asking God, like, why is this happening to me? Because I'm being used. You're using me, God. And he was upset at many different times with God because of this. And this happened time and time again. But he was able to find true happiness. And that's not necessarily that things all went the way he was anticipating or desiring they would. Or that he was able to live a good life. But rather, you know, of course, those may all be good things and may happen. But Asaph found a kind of happiness that superseded all of those things that could have had been good in and of themselves. He found that being near God was the true happiness that exists. If you think about it, isn't it kind of selfish to be want to be like right by God or prideful? You know, God says that he's with us, right? So if you believe in God, then he's right by you, right? Can you see him? Can you feel him? Can you touch him? You can't, probably. When we are with someone we love, we can sense them. We can hear their voice. We can actually reach out and physically touch them. Right? It's not very abstract because he's right there. However, for the case of God, we can't fence him in such a way, at least for most people. And if we say, oh, touch God, he's right there, you know, it's like, at least for myself, I can't physically feel him and I can't see him either. However, I know he is here. And he says that he will never leave us. And even though we can't see him, he is here. And knowing that and believing it is the most highest form of happiness, as Asaph described. So happiness can be found in knowing God and being by him. And so because of that, they don't really think about happiness in the sense of the world's way. In Fukuoka Prefecture in Kyushu, there is a Christian hospital, and it's called Kameyama Eiko Hospital. And this is where there's a palliative care ward. There is a doctor there and also a chaplain by the name of Dr. Yasuki Shimoinaba. And in the hospice, he has seen many people pass away. He's watched their last days and hours. And he says that there's one person who's really stuck out in his mind. This was a 26-year-old terminally ill cancer patient and was about to pass away and was put into was hospitalized prior to that, of course. She had a 2-year-old daughter at that time, and she realized she would have to move on and leave her daughter. And she was placed in the hospice, of course, and she knew what was going to happen to her. And so she asked the doctor, she asked how much longer can I live? And he answered, realistically about 2 or 3 months. And she, when she heard that, she just let a sigh out. Her name was Naomi. And he said to her, Naomi, I am a Christian. And I have no regrets. I can't see God, but I believe that Jesus is here. And have you considered giving your life to him? And so when she heard that, she said to him, Well, there's this famous singer back in the day, and there was this song called, like, Don't Forget. Don't forget. And Jesus is always remembering, always looking at you. That's the lyrics of the song. And he sang that song to Naomi there in a hospice. And she started to cry. And after hearing it, she grabbed his hand and said, thank you. And she decided to believe in Jesus Christ. After a while, she told a doctor, she said, I think that life is not only about its length, but its quality. So it doesn't matter how long you live, but how you lived. It's the quality of life that's the most important. And she said that she learned about that from her experience. There may be difficult things, but there can be a fun or a pleasant aspect to it. And if you're able to realize that, then that will allow you to truly be happy. The sense of happiness is something that only God, that only Jesus Christ can give you. And because she knew that, and because Asaph knew that in the Psalms, they both realized what it meant to truly be happy. God desires for us to be happy, and he wants you to have that happiness in your lives. And that depends on you to truly believe in him and be near him. And in that way, you can grasp and hold on to his blessings. I have one more thing I'd like to tell you today. It's talking actually about the topic of death. And as for Japanese people, this is a taboo topic, and people just don't even want to bring it up. It's like the total opposite of happiness to Japanese people. It's like happiness and death, or like unhappiness. And they're just totally different things. If you hear about death, you're like, oh, that can't be happy. And so when you go to hospitals, there's no rooms with a number 4, because number 4 in Japanese is also the same pronunciation as death. There was something interesting. When I went to a hospital, there was not only a room number 4, but there was no fourth floor. The floor of the hospital skips from 3 to 5. There was no fourth floor, even though there was. Just to that extent, Japanese people don't want to have anything to do with death. But regardless of how much they try to ignore it and just deny it, it's the truth. The Bible clearly states that every person is destined to die once, and after that, they will face death, face judgment. So every single person will die at some point. This prophecy is 100%. You're all going to die. This is definitely going to happen. God has said that. And we know that death is something we'll have to face at some point. And so why is it that people are fearful of it? It's because they have to leave their beloved, wife or husband or children, or there may be people the opposite. The joy of being able to leave people behind, or some people don't want to move on because, you know, they're trying to accomplish something at their job or whatever. So there may be different reasons why people fear death or don't want to think about it. I talked to an 88-year-old woman recently, and she had cancer. And she asked me, aren't you scared of death? And I said, no. And I asked her, are you afraid of death? And she said, no, but I'm scared of pain. But I said, well, if you're scared of pain but not death, then doesn't that mean that you're scared of death? And she said, and I asked, did you think of anything beyond death? And she's like, no, I'm just scared about pain. However, the reason why we truly fear death is that in our souls, in our human souls, in all human souls, there is this sense that we need to fear death. And I think the reason is that people don't realize what is beyond death. They don't know what they have to face. If you knew what was after death and you knew what to expect, if there was like a TV program on saying this is what happens after you die, then you would be, you know, at peace. But there's no program such that. Sometimes when I speak at funerals, I say that when a famous person dies, their friends come and speak to this person who's now dead, but they pretend like they're alive. And they're like, well, I'll be going to see you at some point, you know, and we'll do a lot of things that we did here on Earth. And then they put down the microphone. However, I always want to tell that person, I just want to say, excuse me, do you know where your friend just went? And do you know where you're going? And most people would just say, oh, I'm going to paradise. Well, everybody says we're going to paradise. It, really? Really? Everybody? Yeah, really? Everybody's just automatically going to paradise. And they have no basis for this thought or the decision, this belief. They just believe it. However, they're scared of death. So it doesn't make sense. However, there's one person in the world who has gone, who has died and come back to life. And he says that I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live even though they die. He can say this because he has created a place for us to be, and he has come back to get us. And this is Jesus Christ. He died, but on the third day he was resurrected, and he has come back, and he has explained that he is preparing a place for us. For example, Buddha, he, when asked about death, he said, I don't know. Only heaven knows. He was only, you know, a theologian. That's all he knew. Jesus is the only one who gave his life here and died and was resurrected. He specifically said what it is that says what we can expect after death. As for my wife, her mother last month at the age of 100, after the 19th day after turning 100, she passed away and she went to heaven. That was a long, she had a very long life. And she actually just died in her sleep. And so when her family went to see her in the morning, as usual, she just wasn't alive. It's likely she just went to sleep and woke up in heaven. There are some people who die in that way, and I really rethought about death. As for myself, when I was 6 years old, my father had suddenly had this heart attack and died, and I can still remember seeing this happen. His just saying how much he was in agony, and it was, and he, you know, opened his yukata, and he just explained how he was in pain, and he was taken in an ambulance, but then died at the hospital. So after that experience, I was just terrified of death. And even after becoming a Christian, I was still scared of death just because of this experience. However, my impression changed after my mother died of a form of cancer after becoming a Christian, and she died peacefully. As for my daughter, I saw her pass away too, and peacefully. And for my nephew, and this is, he also had cancer, and I also watched him pass away. In addition, my father-in-law also passed away sleeping in his bed. And so I've seen these different forms of death. Of course, you know, they were maybe experiencing pain, but thankfully they were able to have a peaceful death and in that way go to heaven. So because of these experiences, thankfully my impression of death has changed, and I've thought about this. You know, everybody's going to die, and this is common for all people. However, you can kind of choose, in a sense, what you think about death. You can't choose how you die, likely. As for my mother-in-law, every meal, she would always say, oh, this is so delicious. And she wasn't able to eat like real food anymore. So she had to eat all kind of mashed up food, but she would always say, oh, it's so good. And I when looking at her, I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe she says that's delicious. But she wasn't able to chew well, and she just thought it was great. And, you know, at our 100th birthday, and we realized that, you know, a cake might be difficult to eat. So we thought, well, if we gave her ice cream cake, that might be doable. So we went to 31 Flavors, or 31, I should say. Not, we won't say the company name here, sorry. And we got this ice cream cake. And she was able to eat half of it. She was like, oh, this is so good. And we were kind of worried, but she ate it. And she was able to and digest it without a problem too. And on the day before, the evening before she died, she also said, oh, this was, you know, a delicious meal, and started snoring and went to sleep and then just didn't wake up. So in her daily life, she was really thankful. She would say thank you, or this is delicious, or I was happy, or this was great. And she was very thankful. And in that way, it seems that she could, you know, say that she had a good life. The doctor who watched a lot of people passing away in the hospice, or a different doctor by the name of Tetsuo Kashiwagi, said, or kind of reflects, saying, if you knew that you only had a month left to live, like, how would you live your life? And if you were asked the same question, okay, you're going to die, you know, told, you know, in a month you're going to die, what are you, how are you going to live your life for the last month? This this doctor says that three people usually react in three different ways. One way they may react is they may be very fearful, and they just can't even do like anything because they're just so scared, and they just don't even know what to do, and they just kind of just wonder and are in fear for the rest of that month. And then some people may say, well, if I'm just going to die, I just do whatever I want. And they just kind of just do whatever they just do whatever they want. And that's how they live their last month. The other way people can choose to react is they realize that they only have a limited time, but to do the best with that limited time they have, and really make the best of the time they have left. I really believe that what this doctor says is truthful, because these reactions to the topic of death are quite realistic. If people just kind of, you know, get really anxious, or they just do whatever, or they are very careful with what their time left and how they do it, what they do. And this really shows the state of their heart, and how they have lived their life really is reflected in how they would face their death. And there's something that's really struck with me in my heart. This doctor said, people die in the same manner that they lived. In other words, how you live is the only way you could die. In other words, and so to have a good death, and you need to really have a good life. In my life, I've lived 70 years, and I believe how I have lived is going to be reflected in the way I face my death. That will likely be the same for you, regardless of your age. So right now, how are you living your life? You may think, oh, it's too late, but you have today. You can change your life today. You can think, oh, this food I'm eating is wonderful, even if it's just natto. Or you can look at your bank account and see, well, even though figures are going down, I'm still glad to be here. So just to be really grateful for what you have on a daily basis, and to be thankful for even little things in your life, can allow you to have an ability to have a positive attitude toward your death. God's desire is to provide us with happiness, and that is why he gave us Jesus, so that we have hope for eternal life after death. And if we know that this is the truth and believe it and live it out in our daily lives and believe in this way, we really are happy because we know God and are with Him, that will truly bring about the happiness that God desires for us in our lives. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, thank you very much. We know, Lord, that your desire is to allow us to be happy. And it's not that you just gave us life here, Lord. You have a plan for eternal life for us. We know, Lord, that many things in our try to bring us satisfaction in our lives, but we know through your word that you are the only one that can give us that true satisfaction. And that you have given us the best joy to look forward to, and that is heaven. And we thank you for letting us know this plan. Jesus Christ, we know that we can keep your word tight in our hearts and in a daily manner, Lord. We can be grateful for everything that you have given us, knowing what we have to look forward to in the end. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, well, let's have a time to pray in a moment in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this coming week and forevermore. Amen.